know, it's a whole... And then they had the story of, like, some woman whose hair got set on fire doing it, too. So you don't want to do that. Ear candle. You know those ear candles? Those are the new, ear candles are the new, wear this metallic bracelet and you'll be able to play tennis better. Every year there's something like that that idiots take part in.
My ears, it's just really hurting.
Yeah, you know.
It's making this weird clicking noise.
Can we hear the clicking noise on the air?
I don't know. I don't
Sarah and I were talking during the break about how it was my assessment. She would be a little...
And I said that I didn't mean to be. Nothing's bothering me.
I'm just saying. It's like, no, this is what I said to Lara yesterday. I said, you know, Grimplevania, population, Lara. Huh. And, no, but so, but you, because I was, I thought you were just like picking lint off your clothing, but as we were getting ready to go into the break, it's apparently, what it is you were actually bent over poking something into your ear because it's making a clicking noise. I don't mean to make light, but it's...
No, it really aches. It's not feeling very good.
So is it like a sharp pain or is it like a dull throb?
It's like, it's sharp, but only, pops up every once in a while. So when I turn my head to the side, it feels like, I don't know, it makes us weird.
Do you have a foreign object in your ear of some kind?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know. So you're pushing your finger into your ear or against
the
outside?
Behind my ear.
And it's making a popping noise?
Yeah, it's making
sound. Hold your ear to the microphone. Let's pot your mic
up.
Okay, pot your mic way up. We'll see if we can hear the clicking noise inside your ear on the air.
Okay.
No, I can't hear.
Oh, I can totally hear.
Oh, ow, ow. Oh, that was loud. No, you got to turn the mic back down.
It's down.
God damn. Now we're all deaf. No doubt, Tim didn't even flinch, though. Tim did it. It's like the loudest thing I've ever heard of Tim at no point even flinched. Good times, kids. Oh, by the way, I found this is a good time to do this. Here's what we're going to do. We will be talking to Storm at some point, but they are tracking her down. She's apparently doing something at the mansion. Scott Daly, by the way, emailed in and said, there will be Coca-Cola Black for all today, courtesy of FilmFeverRadio.com.
Aww.
So he'll be bringing that in. Let's see. And I have all this crap I have to get to. We'll talk about Rockstar Supernova here in just a second. We'll play the sound clip. We'll talk a little bit about last night's episode. Later on, we'll do Enemy of the People. Jim Roop will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Scott Daly will be here next hour to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean, the Dead Man's Chest. And then I've got this update on the guy in the power saw attack. But this is a good time to play this. A guy sent this to us. Do you remember that time that we were playing the top five? God, top of my most horrible lead singers or something like that. It was that we were talking about the time that Tim literally got blown off his chair because the sound was so loud because the song had not been volume adjusted. And so we went to play it and it was like 50 times louder than everything else. Now, you will not fully appreciate this because, again, by the time you out there hear the radio show, it's already been leveled, processed, and everything is normalized and it all sounds fine to you. But sometimes here in the studio, volume levels vary wildly from one sound cut to another. And so something will sound just fine and you will adjust your volume, the volume on your headset according to that sound. And then something else will fire and it's just ungodly loud and it just caves in the side of your head. Let's hear that segment. Let's take a listen back now and hear that segment on the Rick Emerson Show. All right. Top five. Now, here's what's going to happen. I will introduce the top five. You will hear me say, the top five worst blah, blah, blah lead singers of all time. We will begin to play this Creed song, and then the sound you hear will be the sound of Tim literally being knocked off his chair onto the floor in pain as he clutches at his head because the sound in his headphones is so loud. All right. Here's your top five.
Shrill, shrieking, wailing, and warbling. The world of music is filled with all kinds of singers and screamers, but there are a select few, a rare handful, whose method of delivery is enough to make one pray for a quick death or earplugs. Let's take a listen to these, the top five most irritating singers of all time.
These are the top five most irritating singers of all time, as voted on by the people who go to the Rick Emerson MySpace webpage. Go!
Honorable mention goes to Scott Staff of...
Oh! Oh, ow. We're all deaf. It's the hearing's coming back. Oh, God, now I have to hear this. Let's hear that again. That was fantastic. Really, I mean, even here it's loud. Now, you know what it is? It's like in the Roadrunner cartoons when the Wile E. Coyote is just standing in the frame and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, boom, and the train comes by and just hits him. That's what, because you can hear there's no fade in. There's no, and even here, it's like 80% higher than everything else. Tim was literally, though, blown off his chair when this happened.
Those method delivery is enough to make one pray for a quick sense or earplugs.
Let's take a look at the top five
most irritating singers of all time.
These are the top five most irritating singers of all time, as voted on by the people who go to the Rick Emerson MySpace webpage. Go!
Honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
Oh! 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 Ow! We're all dead. The hearing's coming back. Oh, God, now I have to hear this. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Oh, my God. How hot do you load these in?
You might want to prepare for these to be a little volume-wise.
Okay.
If you didn't, none of us could hear anything. Here's what happened. Sarah hit play, and Tim actually was blown off his chair just now by the volume. All right, let's move on. These are all going to be a little loud. No.
I'll keep it back.
It's number four.
No more time. Page, go!
Honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
Oh, ow. We're not laughing at ourselves, laughing at something. It's the hearing. I think it's funnier the second time. I think it's literally, it's funnier listening to that than actually it was at the moment. Oh, because if you close your eyes, you can literally see it like a fire hose of music.
My eyeballs popping out of my head. I'm throwing up against the wall.
Blowing Tim off his chair into a door or something. Oh, my God. Oh. I'm going to play that like 800 times more, like later on in the show. What else is this?
That was a classic moment.
The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. It'll do.
All right, thank you, sir. Somebody said that to us, too. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Jesus, God. All right. You're laughing, Rick, says this email, but maybe that's where Tim lost part of his hearing. I don't think it ever really came back. I gotta play it one more time.
Okay.
Oh, God.
And these are the honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
We're all deaf. The hearing's coming back. Oh, my God. The best part is you can hear Tim. You ask him something and he says, what?
Oh, my God. How hot do you load these in?
You might want to prepare for these to be a little volume one.
Okay.
Right there.
I wonder if anyone else is finding this amusing.
I don't care. It's hilarious. Let's read this email.
Help me. Like you did by the lake on the boom.
Jesus. Rick, this email says, no one knows the true auditory pain till they work in a small room with Clyde Lewis as he builds a track for Ground Zero. He cranks his audio so high that classic rock DJs actually leave their soundproof studios to ask him to do. This is true. When we worked at Entercom, it's not so much the couple guys don't keep it very loud in there. They listen at a moderate level. But it's usually oldies and classic rock DJs. We would be at the Entercom studio, and when Kissin was, when they were in that FM room, did Kissin move studios?
No, there's nobody in our studio.
The old Mac studio is just empty?
Yeah, it's totally abandoned.
But I mean, is Charlie, I guess, an academic conversation.
Charlie is a machine.
Because none of them actually use DJs. So, but I mean, is the Charlie, is the box that pretends to be a human being that is Charlie 97, whatever, is that in the old kissing room?
No, yeah.
Well, that can go anywhere. I mean, it's the size of a
it literally could just be sitting on Jack Hutchison's couch at home broadcasting. It's just broadcasting from, you know, a box sitting on top of Aaron Hubert's microwave.
Yeah, I went back once to visit Squid and went into that room, and it's just eerie. Everything's exactly the way we left it.
Except
it's empty. Yeah.
It's like Graceland. It's just the thick coatings of dust over zebra print carpet. But those rooms were very, very well constructed. We had really nice studios at Intercom. I will say that. We had really great studios. And they have this thick-ass soundproof glass.
Good thing they took all the time to build those.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Never being used by anybody.
I had a nice newsroom back then.
You did.
That's being used. There's nothing in it. Probably Dave Paul's marmalade is still sitting in there.
I threw that away.
There's nothing. But Kissin had this big, thick, soundproof glass. And, like, literally, though, I would be there sometimes, and you could, I mean, they would close the door, and you could hear the music in the Kissin booth echoing out through the sound. And when I say soundproof glass, I mean it's like a literal, like, radio station quality, studio quality, soundproof doors, walls, and glass. And you could hear every note of that Herman's Hermit song, like, at your desk. That's how loud they listened to it. And there was always some guy inside balding with a ponytail, like, kind of rocking out. And talking about some guy, you know, some song that had Tasty Licks in it or something like that. Good God. All right. I don't even know how we could top that. And that's sad because that's something from like a month ago. Rick, it is incredibly disturbing to hear you laughing at yourselves. During the replay of Tim's auditory assault, you and Sarah are laughing uncontrollably while you are also laughing uncontrollably on the replay. It sounds really, really bizarre. I think I am having an acid flashback. All right. Also, you are a danger to yourselves and each other. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. It's 503-733-2.
Go! Honorable mention goes to
970.
The staff of...
Oh, ow. We're all deaf. All right. We should do this Rockstar Supernova talk because we got to get it talked about because Storm's going to be calling at some point. And it'd be pointless to do it after that. So let's just do the Rockstar Supernova, the sound clip in the news here. And then we'll break, and I got to do this update on the power saw attack on the subway, and so forth before Rube calls us.
Well, Rockstar Supernova has now only 14 hopefuls. Drummer Tommy Lee, my microphone is breaking up. Revealed.
Did we tell you this like an hour and a half ago?
my hearing warms up as the show goes on. Well, Tommy Lee revealed who would be going home during last night's elimination round on the CBS reality series.
You know what's at stake here? It's freaking huge.
Not really.
Okay? We ain't messing around. One of those guys right there, or girls, okay, is going to front Supernova. So y'all better buckle up.
Isn't it a soundbite? Didn't we play this yesterday?
No, he just likes to say buckle up and frickin' a lot.
Does he only have... He's just, his rock dictionary totally. Is necessarily small. You know, 'cause I'm bigger than Jesus. We talk about the seven kinds of guys you always see in a rock concert. Mm-hmm. There really is only like seven phrases that any rock star will ever use. Tim and I were talking about this before the show.
Bring on the rock.
No, there's... Hold on, wait a minute. We should have... There's going to be some sort of rock star supernova drinking game.
And the step was repeated over and over again last night.
Bring on the rock... There's bring it. There's a lot of bring it. Like sometimes you'll just have the guy go, okay, bring it. All right, there's bring on the rock. Tommy Lee says buckle up and buckle your seatbelts a lot. He says that repeatedly. Buckle up. And it pains me to say this because I grew up as a huge Motley Crue fan. But goddamn, that guy's just a tool. He's just sleazy. And of course, it doesn't help that we're sitting on the couch watching this last night, Laura and I. And Laura keeps going on about how hot she thinks he is. And I just, to
Tommy
me,
Lee?
Yeah.
I know, too bad he's so dumb. He is really beautiful.
He's not, though. He's just sleazy.
He's gorgeous.
Now, when you say he's gorgeous, do you mean physically speaking, he has gorgeous features?
Yes.
Like, if you just saw him, like, working at a hardware store, you'd be like, that's a gorgeous guy. Or is he hot because he's Tommy Lee?
No, he's hot because I think that he's very attractive.
Well, I guess it, no, it's a fair point. I guess
think it's actually more of a turnoff that he's Tommy Lee. I think he's just really physically attractive.
That's what I'm saying. Because when you look at him, you just think Petri dish. You know what I mean? It's just he just seems all scummy and sleazy, and not that, and now there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the rock and roll is all about sleaze. I'm just saying he just makes me feel kind of icky. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I guess it makes sense though, because Nate does, as we've pointed out, your boyfriend, your gentleman caller, Nate does look so much like Tommy Lee, and he probably gets sick of being told that. But it's true. So
he really does. It's kind of unnerving.
I don't know. He just
lucky me.
Yes. Nate doesn't have the sleaze vibe, though, that Tommy Lee does. Nate's got his own sort of grubby outlaw appeal to him, I suppose. But Tommy Lee just seems relentlessly stupid. Like, I would never... I wouldn't say that to him, and I won't say it to Storm. Not at this point.
I'm sure Storm has figured it out.
He does. He's
one of those people who doesn't wash his hands after he uses the restroom.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he the guy in the dirt that snorted a line of ants? Who was it that snorted a line of ants? You have the best look on your face right now.
No, I think he bit the head off ants.
The look on your face is fantastic. Oh, wait, I missed it.
Honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
Okay, Rick, you've got to stop playing.
No, it's hilarious. Who was it that snorted? That was Ozzy that snorted ants, maybe, and Tommy Lee snorted some bodily fluid of some kind. No, there was something. I don't know what it's... There was somebody...
I think that was Alice Cooper.
No. You're thinking of Frank Zappa, and that didn't happen.
Oh.
All right. We got this. Tommy Lee looks like he smells really bad, says Catherine. Mm-hmm. He looks like he needs a bath or a series of baths.
Or to be let inside a car wash. The door's open.
No, but he says bring on the rock a lot. He says buckle up a lot. I know I said this a lot, but I have lost count of how many times Dave Navarro starts a sentence with, dude, and then he makes this kind of weird, like, sideways black power fist thing.
Do you notice how he has a bigger chair than all the rest of them?
Dave Navarro?
He's so small.
Is he a small man?
He's teeny.
I never saw Jane's Addiction or anything, so I don't know.
No, he's like 5'2".
Really?
Yeah, he's a little mini thing, and it looks like he has padding in his chair.
He's a little mini thing. It's like when I saw, who's that band, Unearth, they opened for Hatebreed, and like all the other guys come out, and they're like normal-sized rockers, and then there's like a little efficiency-sized rocker. He's like 3 feet tall. But literally, not just a diminutive person. I mean, he's literally like... It really was like a Shih Tzu of some kind or something. He was, carrying a guitar. It was just small, really long hair. It just looked like Cousin It kind of coming out to play. I don't see Dave Navarro to me. See, Dave Navarro, I'm surprised that you don't like him because I would peg you as liking Dave Navarro because he's so stylish. Because
he seems so cliche. Like with the net shirts and the nipple piercings and he just bothers me.
Okay, well, all right. And then there's Jason Newsted, who's like the guy who doesn't belong there. He just seems like way too cultured and smart to be hanging out with the other guy. And Gilby Clark, who I am more convinced than ever. It's like when I saw Marky Ramone. And look, I say this with respect because you know that I love the Ramones. And Marky Ramone was a great guest. We were glad to have him on. Here's the thing about Marky Ramone and in fact, Johnny Ramone and all of them. Because those guys were all 50. And so you got to wonder, like, is the wig intentionally bad? Like, is it sort of, like, you know what I mean? Because Marky Ramone came out, and it was just like a thing stapled to the top of his head. It was, have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen a guy, especially, like, I think this when I see Kiss on stage. Like, the last time we saw Kiss at Clark County, and, like, you know it's all fake. You know the hair is completely fake. And do you, as I do, sometimes see a band, and you literally are afraid the hair is going to come off? I do this. I don't mean it to be me. Look, I love Kiss. I am nervous for them. Because it's like Michael Jackson. Like,
someday your hair is going to come off.
Like, what do you expect?
When you least expect it.
Like, will you expect Jackson's nose to come off at some point? Like, Jackson whirling around on stage. Wham! Nose comes off. Lands in the front row. How do you recover from that? When we saw Kiss in Vancouver a couple years ago, so we're sitting there, and they're doing that thing when they played, it was like Love Gun or Deuce or something, and they do that Kiss thing, the thing that they created that is such a, it's a cliche, but they can do it because they sort of created a cliche, where at the end of the song, and I think it is at the end of Deuce, the Ace character, Tommy Thayer, and Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons all stand up next to each other, and they give it like a three count, and then they start doing this like back and forth like thing with the guitar, where it's like a synchronized guitar, headbang, turn, thrust, tilt, bang, head, turn. It's like some sort of Rockettes thing. And Paul Stanley's just like shaking his hair for all he's worth. You know, and you know that's probably built into him at some point that he... it's a thing he's done for so many years. He just does it automatically. And I'm there, and I'm trying to enjoy the show, and I'm trying to be like, rock, Knights in Satan's Service, woo! But there's, how many people would you say that place holds, that Clark County Amphitheater? Thousands.
Thousands.
I mean, thousands. 10,000 maybe. So we're sitting there, and I'm trying to enjoy it. I'm trying to be down with the rock, but all I can think in my head, there's a mini slow motion movie happening where he goes like, you know, rock, turn, thrust, and the hair just comes off right onto the stage. And so how would he ever go on? He'd have to kill himself. How would you ever go on stage again? So I think a lot about rockers and their hair, and I've talked before about the great unspoken secret in rock, the great unspoken thing that all interviewers must just know not to ask. Is like, is that your real hair, Steven Tyler? Let me grab that, because you know it's fake. And I start thinking about, like, how is it attached? Is it glue? Is it staples? Is it something where it's like literally tied in knots around your existing hair? I really do wonder about all of that. There's got to be, so that's the tell-all book or the anonymous article. There needs to be some sort of Devil Wears Prada kind of book. That is somebody do this right now so I can read it. There needs to be some sort of book like that, like a Nanny Diaries kind of thing. And I know I'm referencing the Nanny Diaries, but there is that whole genre of books now about the bad boss and about, you know, hey, I worked for the boss from hell, and let me give you all the inside dope about this working in this industry for a terrible boss. There needs to be some book like that, whether it's a nonfiction tell-all done anonymously, or whether it is a thinly disguised, you know, that's like a novelization memoir or something that is about working for a famous rock star. Because that's all the stuff you want to know, you know? Like, which of the rock stars has the Viagra in the room, and which of the rock stars has to have, like, their hair shot on with a nail gun backstage before they go out? These are all things I wonder about.
That's that Nicole Richie book, The Truth About Diamonds.
Right.
Awesome, because it's like that, except for it's you know, like the young Hollywood scene about, yes, like who's doing drugs and you know, like sleeping around and stuff. It was really interesting.
All right, let's see. Oh, it was Tommy Lee that snorted. He snorted a line of ants. No, because they were. I remember this. It was in the dirt. They were lounging poolside, he and Ozzy, and they were trying to one up each other. And Tommy Lee leaned down and saw a line of ants coming out of a crack in the sidewalk and snorted a whole line of ants. And then it was Ozzy who later on ingested a fluid of some... Yes, that one.
Oh.
A fluid that was...
I've seen a drunk guy do that.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. In college.
What?
Yeah. It was... Yeah. It was just as bad as you think it would be.
All right. Let's break down. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's take a break here. Are we done with the Supernova news?
I guess so. It's not my call to make.
Well, I thought we were done. Well, what else is there to say, really? They got rid of who? They got rid of the Paul McCartney-looking guy.
Matt Hopper.
Yeah. I'm glad, though, that
guy... because he sang a Duran Duran song, which they all turned up their nose to, which is apparently very and cool to like.
Now we don't have time. We'll talk about it with Storm. Well, because I like the fact that he sang the Duran Duran song. I thought it was cool to see him doing something a little different. Planet Earth, I don't really know anything about Duran Duran, but... All right, we're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Discuss that.
Don't go anywhere. We'll continue next on the AM 70 Solid State Radio. Stay right there. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right. Coming up later on, we got the CNN Radio correspondent Jim Rubes going to be joining us. Also, Storm Large, somewhere from... Storm is like... she's in the mansion, I guess. Something's happening, and they can't reach her at the mansion. There's some sort of something happening there. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Oh, boy.
Huh.
That was Laura Caviezel.
When? Oh, she's now on the phone?
I guess Gary just ripped her a new one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Rube at least knows not to do that. Oh.
You don't mess with
that's
people from New York.
That's embarrassing.
Well, that's why Scotty's calling her from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. See, here's the thing. When we talked to Rube about that, let's assess here.
So, well, because she said, well... he told me that I didn't tell you about the terror plot, and She didn't.
I wonder if he also mentioned the MySpace thing.
I hope that. That's what I was praying that she didn't mention.
Oh, good Lord.
Maybe
oh.
he'll join us on her list of friends.
Yes. Yeah, you're no longer going to be added to Laura's friends for her MySpace friends list.
I think we're already friends. Maybe she's going to delete me.
She's going to block you. Okay.
Man.
So let's keep track of this. So on the one hand... Did she still claim, though, that Roop was the one who told her about the Lisa Goddard thing?
Yes.
Okay. So CNN,
well, I don't know. Well, she hasn't repeated that, but that's what she told me.
CNN just leaks like a sieve, clearly. All right. We should have known.
We should have her on the air.
Laura?
Yeah, because she thinks...
How would that be awkward or uncomfortable?
Well, because then we can clear the air. Because it's uncomfortable for me, because I have to deal with her every
Not
day.
Anymore. Not anymore. We're going to make Scotty do it. Hold on.
Scotty, you're now calling Laura Caviezel every morning. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
He just nodded his head. All right. He'll just take whatever went to throw him. Also, you're waxing my car.
Mm.
It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Someone named Benjamin the Pirate is on hold. Well, Benji, you're going to have to wait. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, it's all so awkward. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well. What's going on, man?
Who wants to handle that question?
You handle it.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know. So, you know, Jim, when you're on the program, we share many observations with each other. We have a somewhat open and frank discussion about many areas of human existence, be they news-oriented, be they the inner workings of this, the entertainment industry. And we have, I believe, a refreshingly open dialogue about such things. You, Jim Roop, you understand that there are certain things which are said between us as men and as broadcasters, certain things that we say here on the program, and then there are things that, you know, maybe should be shared with Laura Caviezel, and there's things that shouldn't be shared with Laura Caviezel.
What is she claiming I shared with her now?
No. Well, no, it's not you. I was going to say that you are a paragon of virtue in that regard. You are very taciturn and circumspect in all the right ways. Gary Baumgarten, though. So we talked to Gary Baumgarten today, and we made the observation to him, just as a side note, just sort of an amusing anecdote that we shared with him. We were noting that Sarah called Laura this morning to book Gary about this thing with the casinos all having to be closed in Atlantic City.
Right.
It took 25 minutes to get Gary booked. Because the entire time that Sarah was trying to, you know, because Sarah's a very bottom line kind of girl in many ways. Sarah, like, wants to call up. Can I get Gary at 12:30? Atlantic Casinos, bada bing, done, scheduled, finished. 25 minutes is how long it took. And apparently, Laura glossed over some other stories that were happening because she kept Sarah on the phone for 20 minutes trying to figure out how to change the color on her MySpace page. Which is hilarious. And so, we've just mentioned this in passing to Gary Baumgart on the phone. About 9 minutes later, the phone rings here, the back line rings, and it is Laura calling for Sarah because apparently Baumgarten just called up and just reamed her up one side and down the other about that. Which, I mean, I don't have to answer the phone or deal with her. So it's less awkward for me, I think, than it is for Sarah. And by the way, now that they add the wrinkle to this is that my wife's name is Laura. And so when my intern came in, Scotty, he's like, hey, Laura's on the phone, you know, for Sarah.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're going to buy shoes together. Sarah picks up the phone thinking it's my wife. Bam! On the receiving end of like a full-on screed from Laura Caviezel.
Oh, geez.
So it's been a fantastic day.
You want me just to call you every day at 1:30 to see if you want me or not?
Seriously, I think we're going to have to move to this sort of decentralized Napster model, where there's no central repository for all of this, because I think it's all going to end with a shooting. That's just my speculation, though.
I'm surprised that Laura would do that, because she should know that, I mean, Sarah has a show to put on.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe
that's what Gary said to her.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean,
someone needs to do it. Someone needs, because when, you know, every time I call her, and I rarely do anymore, it takes a good 10 to 15 minutes to get off the phone. I have to say, I have to go.
Yeah, that's Sarah. I mean, that's really Sarah's experience too.
That's why I'm looking forward to Monday when Rich is working, because that way it's just all business with Rich or Richard.
Wait. Laura's going away?
Went for a couple days. She said she wasn't working Monday or Tuesday.
Woo-hoo.
Is she going to be sitting at home looking at her engagement ring in a mirror?
Gotta figure out how to change that from a cubic zirconia. She'll probably call Sarah and ask, how do I do that?
No, and I mean, it's, and, you know, and then we were frustrated because we heard that she had a MySpace page a couple days ago. She'd mentioned this. And of course, we were all like, oh, we got to, because the first thing you hear when somebody's got a MySpace, because we have one with a show and everything, I'll admit that. And the first thing we hear when somebody's got a MySpace page, you want to go there so you can see what they look like. And then her page has no pictures, which is frustrating and pointless. So, anyway.
You said that you found a picture of her, right?
Well, someone, a listener, emailed me what he purported to be a photo of her.
Well, there's one on our website.
Oh, really? Of Laura?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see if we can go look. Is it the CNNRadioNet.com?
Yeah, whatever right. That one is.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I don't go on it, so I don't know.
So, let's see, Sarah, there you go. Your curiosity can be quenched.
All of our pictures, I think, are on there.
Are they all from, like, 1978, though? Is hers equally out of... Does it show with a mustache?
They're 5 years old.
All right. Anyway, yeah, and so then today, so Sarah called up about, like, so, can I book Roop for... And she said, how do I change the color of my MySpace page? I came in, Sarah, and then Sarah started doing that thing to me at the end of the call about, like, the... Call, say, would you call me from the back of the room? Tell me that my car's being towed or that I have production to do something. And so I'm having to do that fake, like... Hey, Sarah, I need you to help me with my pants. You know, just to go, just anything, just to try to get her off the phone. So, oh, it's a great Friday. Best show ever.
Well, I'm sure that Baumgarten was just trying to do something nice for Sarah.
No. It's
we true. We all are on the receiving end of Laura whenever we call.
No, it's true. So I, you know, but we...
Well,
we,
I apologize for him.
No. You don't need to apologize.
No,
I'm
no.
sure. Gary,
it was just awkward. I mean, it had to be done.
Well, yeah, because frankly, it was only awkward because we picked up the... If we'd known it was Laura, we just would have ignored the call. We just would have pretended we
and
weren't
also,
here.
He had a serious story to talk about, and we're sitting here joking.
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
You talk about awkwardness, is that we called him, and I was just going to talk about the casinos closing, and then this maniac that was, like, running around with a saw and a teddy bear yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, which is... I guess bad in its own way, but in a Rick Emerson sort of way, it's kind of an amusing story. Guy with a saw and a teddy bear.
But nobody died.
And nobody died, and he had a teddy bear. And
it was all fun.
And so we call Baumgarten, and I'm just cracking jokes and being my normal amusing self about an hour ago and just, you know, being hilarious. And Gary, though, the entire time is under the impression that I'm calling him about this plot to blow up all the tunnels because he assumed that Laura had told us about it. Which she had not, because she was too busy talking about the MySpace page. And so, I'm like, so zing, it's a hilarious day, Gary. What's going on in the fun-filled capital of Manhattan? And Gary's like, well, someone tried to blow up all the bridges and tunnels today. So that was a little bit of unease there, as we, you know, that was a bit of a train wreck transition.
Kind of a weird thing for him to do, too, though.
Yeah, it's all very strange.
Yeah.
I think there's something in the water that you people are drinking. The CNN, you're all going crazy. It's like that day that somebody spiked the Titanic craft services table with PCP. That's what's happening at CNN. It's just something.
Why don't
there.
You guys just send me an email every morning?
I think that's a good idea. All right. Well, I don't even remember what we were going to do. Do you have that Jackson story, Tim?
No, I'm sure I have it here somewhere.
I didn't even bother to read it all the way. It was just a story.
Jacko is Shaco?
Yeah, it was Jackson shocked by gay porn. That's all I saw. Have you heard this?
Well, yeah, Mark Schaffel, the guy who's suing Michael Jackson, spent most of his life and made most of his money producing gay porn.
Now, see, the
Jackson claims he didn't know that when he hired him.
And the funny thing to me is not just that, it's the idea of, I mean, really, in a disturbing way, what does it take? Imagine what it takes to shock Michael Jackson at this point. You know what I mean?
But now, remember, that's spun by his lawyers there.
Yes.
I'm sure Michael Jackson wasn't shocked by it. I'm sure he's not stupid. I'm sure he knew who Mark Schaffel was when he hired him, because somebody probably told him.
The best phrase here is, I could not believe that he was involved with pornography, said Jackson, who had a house full of hardcore porn magazines and DVDs when the cops searched his residence. Is it true that Schaffel's own lawyer called him an idiot?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Because he didn't get any receipts from Michael Jackson as he was funneling money through him. So he now, instead of $3.8 million, he's asking for $1.6 because he can't prove with any hard evidence or any kind of paper trail that all that money exists.
I don't know, you know, it's like that scene in Office Space when they talk about money laundering. I'm not even really sure how one, if I had to launder money, I don't even know that I would know where to begin. I'd have no idea where to start.
I go down to the local 7-Eleven, buy lottery tickets.
Probably. We were just talking about how all of the 7-Elevens, they're all going away in Portland. There's an abject lag. You guys have got tons of them in L.A., though, still.
Every 5 feet.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, there's that. And then I had some wacky observation I was going to make about yesterday's Emmy nominations, which you talked about a little, but I forget. I don't even know. Except,
what was it?
No, I don't know. It's gone now. It's gone. So it's gone. It's been swept away in this whole wash of CNN soap opera and tunnel bombings.
I feel bad for the idiot marrying Laura. Well, she just sucked the life out of everybody. She sucked the life out of you today, didn't she?
Yes. What was a colorful, joyful program is now just one endless shade of audio gray.
Jeez, I apologize to your wonderful listeners for having to put up with all that.
No, it's okay, Jimmy. It's not. I don't want you to put that weight on your shoulders.
Fox.
You are no. It's you. You and Gary are professionals of the highest quality, and no, it's in no way do we hold any of you responsible for the sins of the mother in this case. All right. Well, I'll tell you. Enjoy your weekend, and on Monday.
I can't now.
Now it's weighing you down. Now it's going to hold you down. It's going to quash all of your fun this weekend.
Heavy fog, man.
All right. Well, go home, and alcohol will cure that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Fantastic. All right, and we'll talk to you next week, brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Jesus God.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on in that company. There's a whole lot of awkwardness at that place. Good Lord.
I found the picture of her.
This guy noting, oh, you should have played the Tim volume blast for Jim Roop. We'll play it Monday. He'd appreciate that. He probably had that happen. All right. I don't even remember. I was going to talk about the Emmys, but it's all gone now. I don't remember.
I just feel all weird.
I had no idea that there was already such existing animosity there.
Yeah.
Which, because clearly, I mean, there's the hotline ringing again.
No.
Hold on.
Scotty.
Shh.
I'm not here.
Scotty's answering. Hold on. I'm going to go see what it is. I'm going to go listen to his half of the conversation.
Okay.
Shh. What are we doing in the meantime?
Okay. It's Roop to talk to you off the air.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it really Laura? And she's saying she's
Is it really Laura pretending? Is it really Laura Caviezel pretending to be Roop? Mm. She's not going like, hi, this is Jim Roop. It is Jim.
Okay.
All right, okay. So that's Jim Roop to talk to you off the air.
All right. Yeah. Let's just listen to her half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Oh, I think he's giving us his personal contact info.
Okay.
Oh.
I think he's giving us his cell number.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is the, I think he's just... That'd be great.
It's probably his home office.
Can you give it to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H?
I think we're going to need you to go ahead and... It's not a half day or anything, Peter, so if you could just... Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just going to assume that we have like a standing invitation
to
him.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
That'd be great.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. Have a wonderful weekend.
Ooh. Okay, bye. No, you too. Not really. No, thank you, sir.
Oh, he is so nice.
Okay, what's that all about?
He's sending me all this personal information.
Oh, fantastic. See, directly. He's just... Okay, that's so we can just cut out the middleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good times. What is this?
What are we going to do?
Let's see. Hey, there are three Coke Blacks here. Caller Joe has brought in three Coke Blacks. And then Benjamin the Pirate wants to invite us to something.
Ooh.
And then we have to do the top five hot songs.
Let's see what he wants to invite us to. Maybe you can do two parties in one weekend, Rick.
Here's the three things we've got. Oh, I got out of that, by the way.
You did?
I got out of the party. I think I made her feel guilty with my long dissertation last night. But here's how I got out. We went to Fry's last night so I could buy these new headphones. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. On the way back from Fry's, and I was just, I'm doing that thing, because, you know, I know that it's me, I know I'm defective, and I was doing that whole thing, like, hey, baby, I'm sorry that I'm all bipolar. You deserve somebody stable, honey. Which is true. It's not like a thing I do to try to get out of stuff, but it is, I do. Do you have this, Sarah? And I know you do. Do you have apologies that it's like a cycle? It's like about every 90 days, you know, you and Nate, or you and your sister, or you and your mom, but it's usually Nate, you know, a guy, whoever you're mm-hmm. dating. You know that about every 90 days, there's going to be the same kind of disagreement that's going to happen. Maybe not about the same exact issue, but it's going to be like the same symptoms. You know, same issue, same kind of argument. And you just know that you're when it happens, that you're going to end up making... So you find yourself making this, apologizing for the same type of behavior about three times a year.
Absolutely.
So what is yours? You can tell us. No one's listening. I'll call Laura Caviezel and tell her all about it.
Mine is when... I don't know, like if I'll have one beer too many... and then start to pick a fight for no reason.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, that happened on the 4th of July.
Now, do you pick fights with Nate when you're drunk?
No, not usually. But on the 4th of July, I did. It was just terrible. And I woke up the next morning, I'm like, something bad happened last night.
But I can't remember. That's the worst, too. That's the worst. If the night is a wash or something, or just a blur, and you're like, okay, I can't make it. It's like looking at the fuzzy photograph of a Yeti, and you're like, I can't tell what it is, but it looks dangerous.
Yeah.
It looks like a thing that's going to... It's like those blurry Loch Ness monster photos. Like, all I see are teeth. And I can't quite tell exactly how it will kill me, but it does seem lethal.
No, and so this happens just every once in a while. Like, not too often, but one of them happened to be, 4th of July. So I woke up and I couldn't... I just felt this horrible feeling. I called. I'm like, hello? And he's like, what's up?
That's a thing that, because it has the opposite reaction normally between you and I. Like, if you have one too many, or not even one too many, but I mean if you are into your cups, as they say, you just become the nicest person. You would just become so, like, Rick, I love working on the show. You're fantastic. You know, which is good. So that's bizarre.
You know, it's shots. I can't take shots.
Yeah.
And I did on the 4th of July. I'm never going to again. I can't do it.
Yeah, but that's probably every 90 days. You're like, maybe just this once.
I haven't done it in a while.
But this is me and my wife, Laura, is that every 90 days, I find myself making this, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm not normal like other husbands. I'm sorry that I am manic depressive and don't ever want to leave the house or do anything. And that I'm joyless and humorless and a man with no social skills. And then I just become blubbery about it. Like, baby, I wouldn't be anything without you. I'm so glad that I've got you. You know, and I turn into a big sissy about it. So I was doing this last night. And so I'm like going on and on about, I'll go to the party on Saturday. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be complaining about it. I'm not normal.
I'm crazy.
I'm not like other men. But then she revealed, though, but this is the best. So I apologized. So I got all the brownie points from apologizing. And then she feels sorry for me because I'm crazy. And then she revealed, though, that they're doing a bike ride that day. So she and all her friends are doing, like, some 15-mile bike ride. Then they're going to meet up later that night for the party. And so I say, well, how about, I mean, she goes, do you want to go to the bike ride? And I said, well, now could I go to the bike ride in lieu of the party? And she said, yeah, I suppose. And then she tried to take it back later, but it was too late. So I'm going on this bike, which is fine, because when you go on a bike ride with a bunch of people, it's almost like you're by yourself.
You don't have to talk to them.
You don't have to talk to people, because if they try to talk to you, you can just be like, oh, man, I know, I'm feeling the burn. I got to concentrate on making up the hill. You can totally just be in your own world. So I'm going on the bike ride with her and all of her hippie friends on Saturday afternoon. And then we're going to go home. We'll have lunch or whatever. And then she's going to go to the party. I will be free. And I'll be sitting on the sofa playing Xbox.
That's a good trade.
Speaking with no one. Oh, it's fantastic. All right.
Oh, you know where I'm going on Saturday?
No.
I'm going to see Social D.
Are they here? Weren't they just here like last week?
No, they were here like, I don't know, a year ago.
Where are they playing?
At the Crystal.
Saturday?
Yeah. I didn't. I can't go now.
But see, now I can't go. I can't go on. Even now. Oh, God damn it. Now that you see my set. Oh, devil woman.
I didn't even really enjoy it last time because you kept bringing small children up on the stage. But it's like, I want to go again just to see if it's, this is going to be the best show ever.
Well, now I can't go. Oh, see, this is the bitterest plum. Now my Saturday night is free because I don't have to go to the party, but I can't go now. Because what I can't do? I can't be on the air for half an hour bitching about how I don't want to go out and leave the house. And then as soon as I am free of my party obligation, I go to a show without her and essentially with you even. Sorry, baby, I know I fought for 3 days to get out of this party because I don't ever want to leave the house, so I claim Sarah and I are going to a rock and roll concert. Have fun. Yeah, that would be the last thing I ever said. They would find my severed head on one of the posts down the street. All right. Well, who is Benjamin the... All right, fine. Hold on. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Master Emerson, 'tis a pleasure to be speaking with you on this fine, sunny day.
Uh-huh. Okay, how can I help you, sir?
He sounds like a
I'd like to extend an invitation to you and your fine crew to join the Pirates of Portland, Oregon at a showing of the Pirates of the Caribbean this very evening at 7 o'clock at the Century 16 Eastport here on the south side.
All right. Sarah, why don't you take this one? I'm going to go sit over here.
No, he's your pirate.
He's not my pirate. He's your pirate. All right, what?
Well, this is extended.
And when?
It will be at the 7:10 showing of the Pirates of the Caribbean at the Century 16 Eastport.
I don't think real pirates talk this way.
Oh, of course we do meet.
He sounds like the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
He really does. And is it 7 o'clock tonight?
Newspaper of today.
7 o'clock tonight?
7 o'clock tonight. Have you seen the newspaper of today?
Yes.
Yes.
In the living section, there's a huge...
Pirates don't use the phrase, in the living section today, I saw. All right, okay, there's what?
There's a full page on the front there talking about the Portland pirate culture. Yes, Portland is truly a haven of scum and villainy, full of bilge rats and scurvy dogs aplenty. So if you show up at the theater tonight, you'll see folks in pirate garb and other fine nautical regalia.
Okay. Sarah, you going to be there?
I can't.
All right. Oh, here it is. No, there's a whole article about it. Lori... Oh, God. Look at this woman. What is this like?
She's a pirate woman.
You know, a year and a half ago, this woman would have been in a Ren Fair. Lori Fletcher, a.k.a. Stormfeather, has brought her love into her... Has brought her love of pirate history and lore into her tigered home.
Do you know Stormfeather?
Do you know Stormfeather?
Indeed, she cross-posted my announcement to her PDX Pirates group.
Jesus Christ.
Which has over 200 members.
Holy God.
Yeah. Okay. Master Emerson, I'll need to be moving along. I've got wayward wenches to flog. We hope to be seeing you there.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Be well.
Okay. That was either great or terrible.
I don't know.
I can't make fun of him. He was too good-spirited about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He's very jolly.
Mm-hmm. As those people often are. Pirates are jolly. And good dancers. Social Distortion is not playing tomorrow. Social Distortion is playing Sunday, says this caller.
Oh, really?
Also, wouldn't you have felt foolish standing here? I'm the only one here. Playing Sunday. Also, not sold out. So I could go. I could totally go. All right.
Oh, crap. I have to redo Band-Aids. I thought it was Saturday.
This whole program has been like people listening into you and I sitting around a coffee table somewhere, bitching about stuff. Just sitting around going, and anyway, and so I'm fighting with the old lady, and plus I've got bunions. Have you seen my bunions?
I saw a posting for it in the Willamette Week saying that it was on Saturday and that it was sold out.
Is it possible that Social Distortion is playing 2 days?
Oh,
is it possible that they are playing a back-to-back gig? All right. It's, okay. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What were we going to do here? Does anyone know?
No.
No.
What, should we do Scotty's top five?
Sure.
All right, hold on.
Tim has a lot of news.
Who has a copy of the top five?
I have the copy of the top five.
Oh.
Scotty, should we do your top five here? Yes? Top five hot songs? Okay, Tim, I don't have an intro to this written, so let me load the songs. You'll just have to sort of freestyle it. All right? You'll just have sort of...
I know.
No, I mean, you'll just have to, like, as far as in terms of an introduction.
That's putting a lot of pressure on him.
You mean I can just call out the number?
Three! Hold on, let me... just do what McLaughlin Group said. The number is five! By the way, did you see this? They want us to book a guest on the author of this new... I swear to God, this is a real children's book. They want me to book... You can tell when you just get the spamming. Sometimes they have no idea who they're booking. They want me to interview the author of a new children's book entitled Yesterday We Had a Hurricane. Yesterday all of my possessions were swept away. An exciting new children's book by... hold on, let me find the top five list here.
Sure, we have plenty of time.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Okay, you're not selling it.
You're right, they're playing two shows.
Okay, see? All right, hold on.
I guess I should find out what day I'm going.
I don't know. What's the point? All right, hold on, where's the top five? Here we go. All right, do you want to do the top five now?
Sure.
All right, Sarah, okay. Please now to be starting the top five theme.
Five,
for it. Thank you.
Four, three.
Maybe these will be really loud and comical.
One, fire.
Now, are you playing?
Yes, no, okay. I've got these over here. Zing!
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Aaron Geek in the City, by the way, is telling me not to hang out with the pirates because they are, in his words, lame. Just so you know. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here now with the top five hot songs of all time. Hot songs. Hot songs.
Ew.
Of all time. This is Tim Riley reading a list prepared by Scotty J.
And at honorable mention position, we have...
Okay, wait. Good intro.
These are songs about hot things.
No, these are the top five hot... Yes, top five hot songs of all time created by Scotty J. Honorable mention is what?
Glenn Frey and the Heat is On.
Oh, God. This is already the worst list ever. Just the inclusion of this song. I thought I'd heard this song for the last time.
The heat is on.
Oh, God.
On the street.
If you close your eyes, you can see Eddie Murphy running across the street and shoving a banana into something. Is this from Beverly Hills Cop?
I believe so.
Or am I thinking of some other song?
Is Glenn a lady?
Why is this on the list? This sounds like a much better produced version of that Dirk Diggler song from Boogie Nights. A whole lot of,
Woo!
You got the touch! You got the power! Oh, God. It is hard. You know what it is? Glenn Frey and Don Henley are sort of the Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito of the Eagles. Where Don Henley got all the charm and musical talent. And Glenn Frey got all the craptastic leftovers. That's why everything Don Henley does is pretty good, and everything Glenn Frey... Has Glenn Frey ever done one good song? Anyone, go. No.
No.
And is there anything that dates something more instantly to the 80s than that saxophone right there? There's the guitar to try to capture the rock audience, saxophone try to capture the soul audience. It isn't a perplexing irony now that the saxophone, which is a very soulful instrument, is now used almost exclusively in completely soulless white music. All right, these are the top five hot songs as compiled by Scotty J.
At number five, this band will be in the Couve at Esther Short Park on July 15th. It's Cool in the Gang with Too Hot.
Did you just know that?
Of course I did.
I'm sorry.
Hello, baby. The water is all out at my apartment. I will have to use your shower. And then...
17, we fell in love.
Wow.
High school sweetheart.
Are you kidding me?
Love was so brand new.
Oh, yeah.
What is this song?
Too Hot.
Took the vows of man and wife.
Oh, good Lord.
Forever.
You'll be seeing this at the Esther Short Party, July 15th.
Does Vancouver know that Cool and the Gang is coming, or are they just going to show up? Like pull over the van and get out and start singing?
They probably have no idea who they are either.
Can't imagine that this love is through.
Feeling
the pain, girl, when you lose. Oh, it's too hot.
Too hot.
Too hot, lady.
Too hot.
Gotta run for shelter.
Why do you know this? Did you have to play this as a DJ?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Too hot, lady.
You know, here's some things that only black singers can get away with. One of them is saying, girl, in a song. Because the new kids tried that, and they couldn't really pull it off.
Oh, please don't go, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say girl, and you can, unless you're Michael McDonald, you can't really say lady. I guess Kenny Rogers did it. A black singer can make that work. A lot of, oh, girl.
High and high, we never took the time.
I don't believe I've ever heard this song before.
And
well, don't think that's really a surprise. I never worked like a gold format.
You never did love songs in the middle of the day?
I did. Can you now, Tim, can you now demonstrate the sexy voice that you would use when you would do love notes? I'm going to start this over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on, let me, this is Tim Riley now. Demonstrate the cool, sexy voice you would use for the ladies when they would call at your love notes radio program. Can you talk this up?
It's about, I don't remember. That's about 10 minutes before noontime. Come on, ladies, let's put down that soup spoon and do a slow dance. This is one of 10 hot love songs in a row here at Joy FM.
Good God.
Oh.
That was not bad. You almost hit the post, too.
And that's from the 80s. Last time I did, that was like 1985.
Jesus. All right.
We took the vows of man.
Okay, I can never
say that. This is where the music is the joy.
These.
105.5. Concord, Manchester, Nashua.
Never say that again. Oh, I'm sorry. Also appearing with Cool and the Gang is Linda Hornbuckle. And she's what? She's a local blues musician? From Portland, really? Hornbuckle? Like that, it was. It's like Holly Hornbeak's sister. All right, these are the top five hot songs of all time. And we're really, we're not even 30% of the way through this top five.
Yeah, we're checking right through this. Number four, oh, some, my microphone's going out. Number four, this gets even worse, doesn't it? The more I speak, the more this mic cracks up. Number four, Live by the late Robert Palmer, is Power Station in Some Like
It. Oh, come on. Oh. My wife loves this song. I mean, this comes on VH1 Classic, and the house just shakes. I am... Scotty is typing on the screen. Whatever, Rick, you made this bad with your attitude.
We want the moon to fly.
Yes, I'm sorry. I've spoiled the natural beauty of Power Station. What was another Power Station song? Oh, that horrible cover of Bang a Gong by T-Rex. There's a great moment on Bigger Than Jesus, the B-sides, during rehearsal when they're rehearsing Welcome to the Jungle and they're just rocking and just like laying it down hard. And then like Andrew, the drummer, starts to kick into this. And then immediately everybody starts busting into, you know, Some Like It Hot. Or whatever. Feel the heat. This part. I have no observations to make about Robert Palmer. He's a singularly bland performer. Robert Palmer's one of those guys who could never be a rock star now. See, we're all funking to this, though. We're all, like, jiggling our white shoulders to it. All right. I have nothing to say about him. All right. These are top five hot songs of all time. Scotty J made this list.
At number three, David Johansen, a semi-comic nightclub singer act character. Developed in the 80s, toted a martini and tux, and was this rock singer Buster Poindexter with Hot, Hot,
oh,
Hot.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no. Is this list ironic?
I'm sure.
Have you heard Scotty's cell phone rings? They're all KC and the Sunshine Band. Every time you call him... Oh, God. Jesus. Whenever you call Scotty, it's a different KC and the Sunshine Band song. He is a DJ, a wedding DJ, though, so he might actually like this music.
That's a thankless job.
I can't believe that this station is playing this song. We were just telling some... Some marketing person or an advertiser or something? No, we're an edgy, male-oriented station. No, we're... Kick ass. We keep it rocking. Oh, is it Noah? What would Tommy Lee say? We bring the rock and buckle in and stuff. No more. It's done.
And number two, this artist appeared in the movie Gator 3, Smokey and the Bandit, and another appropriately called Hot Stuff. Here's the song that earned him the 1972 Grammy Award, Jerry Reed. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
I remember him singing this on Scooby-Doo one time. Is Jerry Reed dead?
Yes.
Is he? Are you sure about that?
95% sure.
How could you be 95% sure that he's dead? How do you calculate? This is like, I'm having an embolism trying to talk while this is playing. How would you arrive at 95% certainty that he's dead?
I'm almost totally certain that he is. However, there's a reasonable doubt.
What did he die of? Alcoholism, probably. He's a country singer.
Probably.
Jesus Christ. So you believe...
Or poverty and loneliness.
He died from obscurity. He died from an advance of fame deficit.
He fell down the stairs of his Branson showcase.
living in some like rented wing of David Allen Coe's country home. Oh my God. Yeah, there was some episode of Scooby-Doo where Jerry Reed, a badly animated version of Jerry Reed, was...
You're hot.
Are you kidding me? Is this something
the
Muppets
are...
Singing?
Probably wearing tiger costumes or something.
Can't you just see, like, Kermit and Piggy and the...
They're wiggling their behinds.
The only Jerry Reed song I really know, I mean, I know the Eastbound and Down. Nate's probably a big fan of that. I'm telling you right now. Okay, I'm turning
Amos
it off.
Moses was.
No, if you here's if we if you, Sarah, if you were to call your gentleman caller Nate and sing him, what's his number? Can we call him right now?
Sure.
We're gonna quiz him on
Let's give a public
Jerry Reed right now. Can you just yeah? Can I dial out on this phone?
I don't think it's ever been tried before.
Oh wait, I gotta pick up the top.
Oh,
I've made a horrible mistake. All right. Now, will he answer?
Yeah, that's his cell phone.
All right. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Do I have to dial 9?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
No.
Do I?
Yes.
No.
No.
Stop. That's ambitious. The best show ever. Can you pop this down for the final? You know, there's somebody out there recording. All right. Because, you know, if you record those tones and hold them up to your phone and play it back, it'll dial it. Let's see if Nate answers. It's true.
Hello.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Rick. You're on the air. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool. What's up?
All right. Hey, I want you to complete this sentence.
What's that? Okay.
I'm going to sing you the first line of a song, and I guaranteed, Sarah, that you'd be able to sing the second half of it. Are you ready?
Belt it out, baby. Yeah.
All right. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
We gonna do what they say can't be done.
Yeah!
We got a long way to go. I can do the whole song.
All right, that's right. All I remember is the Smokey's got them ears on, he's hot on your tail.
He ain't gonna rest till you're in jail.
That's what
you
I'm talking
about. You gotta dodge him, you gotta duck him, you gotta keep that diesel truck in. So put the hammer down
give it hell. Fantastic. Is Jerry Reed still alive?
Yes.
He and Tim, you, Sherrod, you are. Tim guaranteed, Tim gave a 95% certainty that he was dead.
Tim owes me a beer and $5.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Nate.
No problem.
All right, there you go. That's Nate. All right. Aren't you impressed?
I'm very
and
proud.
And $5?
Is he even sexier now?
Boy.
Sing me some Jerry Reed. No, I know Eastbound and Down, and I know there's this great country song he sang called She Got the Gold Mine, I Got the Shaft. Bada bing. All right. Let's end this now. Let's end this top five.
What number are we on?
The number one.
Oh, we have done number one
I
yet.
I can't even imagine what number one is.
A famous song by George S. Irving is the number one song. And yes, you guessed it, or did you? Mr. Heat Miser.
Okay.
This is from 1994, it's a year about 7 o'clock.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun.
I believe there's something wrong with Scotty.
Blister, I'm Mr. 101.
I did not predict this.
It is a giant, vaguely demonic ogre-looking being.
No, there was a guy dressed as the Heat Miser on Ed Horns Across the Hawthorn. Yeah. He looks like the Noid, sort of. Or a troll doll. Like a Noid crossed with a troll doll.
He has a Richard Nixon resemblance.
Scott is screaming at me over the text message, do not cut this off. Play all of this. All right. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Rick.
Michael, you are now on the Rick Emerson Radio. How can I help you, sir?
I'm just wondering, Scotty's an intern. Is there any way to fire him?
Yes. Yes, there is. I could do it with one button.
What button?
I could do it with one button on our interactive employee flow sheet that is on my computer. Yes.
I tell you, vote him off the island, then.
I'll just put it on the website and let you all vote on it. All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. Do we have to? Are we behind on a break?
We're very behind.
Well, should we just wait?
No.
No, we should take it.
Okay. Well, let's get another 20 seconds, then we'll end. Scott Daly's going to be here from Film Fever Radio. Yeah. And so forth. We'll have more from the City Desk. Scotty is typing. The audience only agrees with what you say. They are your puppets.
Oh, Scotty, don't turn on the audience.
Yeah, don't bite the hand that, well, that would pay you. Okay. Okay, we're breaking now. And go. Thank you. All right. He's insisting, had I professed a love for the song, the audience would have blindly gone along with me.
Scotty.
You don't want to say that, Scotty.
Don't say that.
Don't him. No. All right, 503-733-2970.
It sounds like this one he'll start to realize the power of the audience.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to toy with the audience. You turn the key in your car, and the next thing you know, you're enveloped in flame. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this is Scott Daly, FilmFeverRadio.com. It's Solid State Radio. Yes, indeed it is. Don't go anywhere. KCBA in Portland.